Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What is going on, y'all? We are back for another edition of No Bets Barred, this time for UFC Apex 59, Jamal Hill versus Thiago Santos. Listen, some are saying card of the year. I know it's only 2022. Some are saying card of the decade. I'm not saying that, but people are saying.
I've heard rumblings. Like, people are out here. You know, this is the one we've all been waiting for, as Bruce Buffer likes to say.
I mean, you've got light heavyweight main event. You've got Vicente Luque, Jeff Neal. You have tough finales. I don't really know how you top this one in terms of wow factor.
Don't forget, you've got Sam Alvey. Sam Alvey is on this card. Like, that is a man who's going to put butts in seats.
Butts in seats. Action, action, action. You're definitely not going to get a split decision out of Sam Alvey. The guy shows up to fight. Last week, UFC 277. The Lioness is back in a big way, and I think we both made some money off of that performance.
Yeah. I mean, we're geniuses, you know? I said it at the time, Connor, you've never been wrong in your entire life, and so how could we be wrong when you've never been wrong? So, we obviously knew. We had the crystal ball, and we saw what was coming. And so, yeah, a total vindication for us, I would say.
I agree. 50-43. And a championship fight is not a great look.
It's not. And you know, we talked about it on some of our post-fight shows, because even though, like, I totally agree, it was the most, what I said was, it is the most compelling ass kicking I've ever seen, because Juliana Pena was still trying. She wasn't doing much. She wasn't succeeding, but it was no point where it was like all the way safe until in that fifth round when Nunes gets the takedown. But yeah,
I actually do agree with that. I had a lot of my friends that don't really watch UFC every single week. You know, they kind of tune in for the pay-per-views, and they kept texting me like, this is such a crazy fight. This is such a crazy fight. I would respond back, and I was like, this is a fun fight. Cause like, Juliana Pena could come back and like do something crazy. But in terms of craziness, like, Amanda Nunes is thoroughly dominating.
Oh, she's just kicking her ass. It was a great performance for her, but the thing was, every time they got on the feet, Pena got dropped a bunch, obviously, but like, she's a zombie. Like, Nunes couldn't hurt her.
She's actually a zombie.
So it was just like, okay, well, there was always the potential that the first fight could happen at any moment, that Nunes could get tired from punching her, and the Homer Simpson defense could turn into a KO from Pena, just like it did in the first fight. So even though it was no point close, total one-way traffic, it was one of the most compelling ass-kickings I've ever seen. And, you know, I personally was a huge fan, as I, you know, put some money down on the Nunes by decision prop.
Oh, that's great call. Great call. I bet it got a little sweaty.
Plus 450.
450. when the waterfalls of blood were just covering Pena's face, were you at all nervous?
That I wasn't nervous then. I was nervous in the second round when Pena just kept walking onto and getting dropped by the same right hand. Because I was like, I know she is tough. But at some point, your body just gives out on you.
And yeah, no matter how tough you are.
She keeps doing this. Yeah, she keeps doing this. At some point, Nunes is going to put her down. And then Nunes then made the decision to grapple with her. And once that happened, I was like, sweet. I wasn't all that concerned about Pena subbing Nunes from her back. And so I was like, okay, Nunes can just stay here and that'll be great and just ride this fight out. And I was like, yeah, it was great. So plus 450 is a nice little cash, baby.
Oh, fantastic cash. Great call by you. Great game plan by Nunes. I mean, she had it ready to go. She looked like she was back. I'm hoping we get the Shevchenko-Nunes trilogy at this point. Two more things I want to get into. We'll start with the bad and then we'll get into the great. The bad, I apologize profusely for not getting the pertinent information that Alex Morono, the Great White, was fighting on Shark Week to you soon enough.
You know, it's okay, because sometimes that's on me. I didn't do my due diligence. I did not do my research well enough. And so you got to take your lumps, because I will also say, listeners, I had a tough week last week, not from an overall number standpoint, but my bet numbers, I went like 2-5, but because I hit the plus 450
helps. Think,
it really makes up for all of that. So I still end up having a positive week, but yeah, that's
you had a positive
me.
Week.
I had a positive week. I
had a positive week. That makes two of us, baby. First time in a long time.
It is the first time in a long time.
Both of us.
You know, cashing a big parlay in the Nunes ticket, basically just, man, I couldn't fail.
So well, I know that Nunes wasn't the only plus money you hit, because I wanted to move past the bad. Let's get into the great. Flyweight unders, they never miss.
Never lose. Just guaranteed, like two flyweight fights, two unders, easily cashed. Never in doubt, never in question.
Joe Biden and the administration in office right now, no more stimulus checks, but they've hidden government handouts in flyweight unders. It's free money. That's what they're trying to tell us. I mean, they don't miss.
You just got to read the tea leaves like us. Listen to us, listeners, and just always bet. I was sad. This card. I knew coming into this card, greatest card of all time. You know, everybody's saying it about Vegas 59, but there are no flyweights to bet the unders on. So I guess maybe we could do it on the Lipsky Cachoeira. I don't know if the flyweight unders translates to the women fights or not, but with flyweight men, always bet the unders. I'm living by that from now on.
Yeah, we've had some good success giving out flyweight unders. We didn't even give out the Kai Moreno one, but that under also hit. You know, it wasn't 2.5; it was 4.5, but it still hit.
Hit by a million. You know, wasn't even close. So,
yeah, disappointment for my guy Kai, but he'll be back. He'll be back. He started looking good, but sometimes you just get caught, man.
You know, he had. I was feeling good those first two rounds. I wasn't, but that third round, I was like, okay, because this was your bet. This was not my bet. This was a bet I was with you on. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is where this train starts rolling downhill. And I said it on our post-fight show at MMAfighting.com, tremendous website.
Great website.
I was doing the live blog for the site. I thought it was a low kick because I'm doing a lot of stuff. And the angle, and I was quick. I was like, did he just kick him low? And then the finish happened, and I was like, I think Herb Dean was reffing. I was like, Herb, what are you, Herb, you just let a low kick lead to a stoppage. And I was like losing my mind.
Saying. But it literally shut his body off.
Oh, yeah. Because the way he dropped, I was like, he just got kicked in the nuts. And then on the replay, I was like, oh, thank goodness. At least it was clean. But there was a period there where I thought we had failed to cash because of an illegal maneuver. And I was very upset.
That would be nasty, but I wouldn't put it past my luck if I'm being totally honest with you. I mean, the pictures afterward of Kai, like right afterward, it's like, dude, I hope I never have to experience something like that, because that is crazy. So yeah, UFC 277, pretty fun card. Loved the main card. The main card was a lot of fun. I know all the favorites won, but the fights were at least entertaining.
The fights had stuff going on, you know, and the main card is what you pay for. The rest of it, you're getting on ESPN Plus or Fight Pass or wherever, TSN, wherever you're watching. So, you know, even if that wasn't, you know, the undercard, let's not pretend the undercard was good, because it mostly was not. But, you know, The end of the prelims was pretty good. Drew Dober, that was absolutely savage body shot.
Dude, the
great
chin
white Simsburger.
On that,
the unbelievable.
Morono looked good. Like, than like when he got rocked by Simsburger, I was like, wow, like he's just kind of like styling on him right now. Pretty impressive outing by Morono.
Okay, it was Shark Week. What can you expect?
Yeah,
there's only one
do?
Outcome.
What are you going to do, dude? I'm not saying I'm going to bet Morono again, but man, the power of
again,
the shark,
if shark
is with
week
him.
Again.
That's what he should do. He should just fight every year on Shark Week, and we're going to have Morono fighting for a title soon.
Dude, I would pick Alex Morono on Shark Week over Kamaru Usman.
Easily
put my hard-earned American dollars behind that bet any day.
That's
of the
a
week.
No-brainer. If Vegas was smart, that'd be a -110, -110 opener.
That's true. I mean, you know, Vegas, listen to us. We've got ideas. We'll teach you how to make money, Vegas. You haven't been doing well enough.
Vegas is obviously listening right now. Small fact that I just want to brush over. Alex Morono is now 1-1 fighting on Shark Week.
Now, the first one didn't count.
I don't know when
the first one was, but it didn't count.
It was in the UFC. We weren't privy to the stats, so it doesn't count. All right, that's UFC 277. Let's move on from the pay-per-view. Let's move on to the fireworks. That is UFC Apex 59. Let's start with the main event. It is a men's light heavyweight bout. It is Thiago Santos going up against Jamal Hill. Jamal Hill right now, last night he was -265. I want to say he's in like the -290 range now. Thiago Santos coming up back around +235. Over under set at 2.5. Under -170. Over +140. You got a side here? It's kind of tough to put your money on Thiago Santos at this point.
I have a side and I have a prop bet here. I just want to say this right out of the gate. Nobody should tail me this week. If you've been tailing me, I did all the bad things. None of this, I don't feel good about any bet I made, but I'm making them. So that's where we are. But the same as I said last week with several bets that didn't cash, I don't feel good about them, but I'm just firing and we're going to see what happens. And on this one, I have two bets. I feel okay, at least about my side. My prop bet is sort of a shot in the dark.
Before you get into that, I'm just going to go ahead and throw out that disclaimer as well. Tailing me going to be tough this week. This is just a tough card. Hold a ton of confidence when you have fights like this. But please, the floor is yours. Let's hear what we got.
Okay, so my side and my prop are both backing Jamal Hill. Because, as you said, tough to feel confident with Thiago Santos. There's a small part of my brain that thinks that this might be the fight that Thiago Santos can win, just because Santos, the key thing that I've been stressing to people for weeks, Thiago Santos is just not fun anymore. 3 years ago, on paper, this fight would have been a certified banger. Like, you just tune in because it's obviously going to be awesome for however long it lasts. Now, Santos he's way too cautious. He has become, you know, like, people are criticizing Israel Adesanya lately because of his performances, because he is entirely counter-oriented. He is not going to bring the action to you. He's going to let you come at him, and then he's going to try and swing. And that has led to some really boring fights. Jamal Hill is probably going to engage him in that fight and just come out and dust him. So that does give Santos a chance, but it's just really hard. He is old now, and you can see it. He's still explosive and powerful, but it's a little less so. And it's just, you know, I just can't feel very good about what's going on here to back him. So all of the trends are in Jamal Hill's favor, and that's why I'm backing him on it. Vegas is 5-1 with Jamal Hill as a favorite. So Vegas knows what Jamal Hill is. And conversely, Thiago Santos is 2-6 as an underdog. You want to take a guess the last time Thiago Santos cashed an underdog ticket?
I mean, it's not before the John Jones fight.
Oh, well before. He hasn't cashed an underdog ticket since 2015. Oof. Against Elias Teodoro. Like,
nice little stat there.
Yeah, he's 2-6 as an underdog and hasn't cashed one in 7 years. Like, that's just... Vegas knows where both of these guys are. When they set one dude as a favorite, that guy, they know that the lines are speaking the truth to them. And especially with Santos getting older.
I mean, no doubt the line is correct. I mean, everything you're saying is undeniable. Like, well, even if you're Thiago Santos, you couldn't deny it. I mean, leading up to that John Jones fight, you know, before all these knee injuries happened, 8 of his 9 wins leading into that fight were by knockout. Yeah. 4 fights since then, no knockouts for the guy. He is much more tentative. The number here is correct. And man, I'm with you. I'm playing Jamal Hill. I do. He's a parlay piece for me. I really Same. Just have a hard time putting my money on Thiago Santos at this point.
Same. And then Tom, he's also a parlay piece. I end up this week, I'm going to have a lot of parlay pieces because we got a lot of long odds this week.
It's kind of what I'm at too.
And the thing for this card, it was really hard for me to find props that I wanted to bet or felt any level of confidence in, even in some of these big fights. So I did take a shot on an Exacto prop just because Exactos are fun. Jamal Hill had 4 of his 6 wins in the UFC are first round KO. He is on a 3-fight win streak of first round KOs. I took a small shot on Hill at plus, where's the number? Plus 350 by first round okay. KO. I have no real confidence that this is going to hit, but I love Exactos are fun. And, you know, ride the roller coaster, baby. The train is 3 in a row. Let's get one more in that.
It's going to be a fun 5 minutes for you. I can guarantee you that if it does last that long, or you're cashing a ticket and jumping up and down in your living room, perfect way to end UFC Apex 59.
Exactly.
All I'm praying for is that we don't get like a 46-39 significant strike, 0 takedown, no control time, 25-minute just staring contest.
I agree. I am also praying that we don't get a Thiago Santos fight in this. Because that's,
I hope this is a Jamal Hill fight, not a Thiago Santos fight.
Yeah, that's the other thing, man. Santos, his last 2 fights have been main events. And so when you're boring and you're boring over 25 minutes, whoo, that is a tough scene.
A dude that big, that explosive, and with that sick and badass of a tattoo on his chest, you shouldn't be going to 25-minute decisions throwing 30 significant strikes.
Yeah, especially when he used to be so fun. That's the tragedy. The John Jones fight, blowing out both his knees, just kind of, you know, that changes his career in a lot of ways. So, but yeah, all right, we're on the same side. Jamal Hill getting it done. Let's go, baby.
Let's go. Sweet dreams to Thiago Santos. Let's keep it rolling.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's SYLVAN29.com.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Next up, we've got the co-main event. It's a men's welterweight bout. It's Vicente Luque going up against Jeff Neal. Luque right now sitting at minus 190. Neal coming back at plus 160. Over-under set at 2.5. Under, minus 135. Over, plus 105. For me, this is just like, I mean, I really do think this is going to be a banger of a fight. Like, I think it's probably going to be the best fight on the card. Like, dudes are pretty much identical in height and reach. They throw hands. They hit hard as hell. They're hard as hell to knock out. Both these guys have solid chins on them. Great records going in the UFC. Been leaning Luque all week. Never got around to pulling the trigger. Now the price is at a point where, you know, when I checked on Sunday, it was minus 155. Now going back to it, it's minus 190. I think Luque probably wins, but I have not put a bet down on it.
So I am betting Jeff Neal in this fight. All the stuff you said before you said you didn't pull the trigger.
Yeah.
Is this fight's going to be a banger. This fight is incredibly... I think this fight is close. Is basically the short version here.
I completely agree.
Pretty close to 50-50, and you now have Neal steamed to plus 160. I think there's it's just a value play. Especially a couple of things here. One, just an interesting factoid. Luque, never been an underdog in the UFC. He's had a couple pick'em lines, but never been an underdog.
Isn't he like 20 fights?
Yeah, 13-3 as a favorite, and he's had a few pick'ems, but never been an underdog.
Wow.
Neal also only an underdog one time in the UFC, and that was actually his most recent fight against Santiago Ponzinibbio, which he won. And he was like plus 100. He was very close to even money in that as well. So I did not realize that until I dug into it. Oddly, both of these guys been expected to win all their fights. But for me, I think Neal is a little bit more defensively minded than Luque, which gives me a lot of hope that he can succeed in this fight. Luque is getting old. I know he's not actually old. He's still pretty young. I think he's 31.
It's the Max Holloway effect.
But he's got way more fight mileage than Jeff Neal.
Yeah.
And that fight mileage, especially for Luque, like Neal's been in some hard fights, but Luque, it seems like every one of his fights is absolute hammer and tongs the whole time. So I have some concerns about where his mileage is going. And just also a fun thing, I know MMA math doesn't work. These two dudes have a lot of common opponents.
Both got dominated by Stephen Wonderboy Thompson.
But that's like a really difficult style for them just because of the way Thompson fights and doesn't engage in the way they like. But they both fought Bilal Muhammad. I mean, Luque fought him twice. Obviously split wins with Bilal. Neal beat Bilal one time. They both fought Mike Perry. Neal killed Mike Perry. Luque won a splitty over Mike Perry. And they both knocked out Nico Price. There's a lot of commonality, a lot of common opponent here. And if you look at that, it all kind of lines up to Neal. Neal did as well or better than Luque in multiple common opponents. And I just think this is a pretty even fight. And so at plus 190 or 160, I'm just going to take the value. I think that number also probably even moves further towards Luque as the fight gets nearer.
That's what I'm thinking, honestly, dude. I really think I'm going to keep my eye on this Jeff Neal line because I'm with you on it being a 50-50 fight. And if Jeff Neal gets up to like plus 180, plus 190, I'm going to have a hard time not playing him. I definitely do. I mean, Luque's a fan favorite. That's what you have to keep in mind with a lot of these fighters, dude. A lot of people will just blindly back their guys and just throw money at them. I mean, we're already seeing it at the beginning of the week. Pretty heavy steam, 155 to minus 190. I wouldn't be surprised if Luque is closing at like 220.
Yeah, and that's almost sort of exactly my thought, especially on a card like this where there aren't a lot of marquee names. So if you're just a casual guy who's coming in and wants to throw down a couple bucks for the fights, you can't look at this card and pick. There's nobody you know if you're just a casual fan other than maybe Vicente Luque or Thiago Santos to chuck some money at. So I think he's probably going to close north of minus 200, certainly. So you could hold on that and then bet a little later in the week, maybe get a little extra value.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think, like I said, the reason I hadn't pulled the trigger on Luque, because I do slightly lean towards his side, is just because I do think it's such a close fight, and at that price, mm-hmm. I don't like it. But
yeah.
I'm not always the value play man, the value boys cult, but if the line keeps moving, I might have to join in this week.
Hey, if the line keeps moving and you join in, that's a delayed wolf pack. You know, it's a wolf pack on layaway. That's what
you'll hear the howls. You'll hear the howls around New York City and Atlanta.
We'll just do an audio of us howling and release it on Twitter, and then that's how you know. So follow both of our Twitter handles. Then you'll know that Connor has pulled the trigger and we are, in fact, a Wolfpack wager.
Exactly. All right. Should be a great co-main event. I'm very much looking forward to it.
I mean, this is easily the people's main event of the card.
Oh, God, yeah. If you were going to crown one, there is zero question. Any other
debate. If you're only watching one fight this weekend, make it this one.
Oleksiy Chek, Sam Alvey, of course. All right, next up, let's keep it rolling on the main card. It is the heavyweight tough finale. Zach Pauga going up against Muhammad Usman, little bro to Kumaru right now. Usman plus 200, Zach going at minus 240, over under set at 2.5, over minus 125, under minus 105. Yeah, I didn't watch tough this season. I rewatched a few of these fights for both Usman, Pauga, Miller, and Walker. I will not be laying any money on these two fights.
I've got action on both.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I don't know. I thought about doing, I thought about playing Miller. I thought about playing Pauga in a parlay. And I was like, come on.
Look, that's reasonable. I decided to be unreasonable this week.
Let's hear it. I'm excited to hear it. Maybe you can talk me into something.
I doubt it. I'm taking Pauga because I want to be extremely clear to everyone listening. I haven't watched a second of Tough, nor did I go back and watch their fights.
I'm going to get around to it.
These bets are made entirely with the assistance of one Alexander K. Lee. He's a writer for MMAfighting.com, tremendous website. He is a...
tremendous writer as well.
Tremendous writer. He is the guy who dutifully watched Tough every episode this season and recapped it for us. He's a tough guy. That's what they say about it, AK, is he's a tough guy. And he watched all the fights. And weeks ago, we're texting or whatever, and he... I guess is watching that episode of Tough, and he goes out of the blue, no bearing. Hey, when the Tough finale happens, if Muhammad Usman's in it, bet on the other guy.
Him. Yeah,
it's literally what he's like. I think to paraphrase him, it was something like, "Yeah, so imagine Kamaru Usman, but bad. That's and at heavyweight.
Yeah, like, a giant bad Kamaru Usman.
Yeah."
Yeah, he's not great, and he does not really, he's very tentative. He does not throw a ton of shots.
Apparently he's not very good. And so I confirmed with AK again. I was like, hey, who should I bet on Tough? I haven't watched any of this. And he was like, oh, yeah, Pauga. Go for sure, go Pauga. And I was like, okay, so I have Pauga as a parlay piece. I have a lot of parlay pieces. I haven't actually made my parlay bet because I'm deciding whether I want to split it up into a couple of them or just do a moonshot eight teamer, you know. So we'll get to that as we work through it, but Pauga is one of my future parlay legs for sure.
I'm actually pretty disappointed we didn't have the foresight to bring on AK just for these two fights. We really swung and missed there.
We did, but I talked to him all this morning about it, so
okay, sweet. So
I have his official breakdowns.
Yeah, I was going to say, give us the detail.
That's what I'm betting. I told you the Pauga. We can move on to the Walker-Miller fight if you'd like.
I have absolutely nothing else to say on Pauga Usman. Let's hear the wise words of MMA Fighting's tough analyst, AK Lee.
Well, so I, like you, kind of just looking on paper, thought I might be into the Miller business, you know? She's mid-20, like fairly young, established hot shit grappler, like a good... You know, there's stuff to build there and had a solid Kimura finish to come into the finals. On paper, it seems like her. But as AK told me this morning, no, definitely bet on Brogan Walker.
He gave
me a couple. Yeah, so that's where I'm at. One, Brogan Walker is an underdog right now. Shit, plus 100 at DraftKings. I'm not betting Brogan Walker straight at the moment because I'm going to wait to see if a prop line drops for Walker by decision when that comes out to see what that is. But Walker, six of Walker's seven career wins have been by decision. Her one finish is a submission. She's not submitting Juliana Miller. So that's just how that goes. But what AK said to me is, you know, Miller's certainly a better prospect than Walker. But Walker's quietly been in there with some good fighters. You know, she fought Miranda Maverick. She fought Aaron Blanchfield. Those are two very good prospects for this division. And, you know, the impressive thing, apparently she made it to the finale winning a decision with a torn MCL. She just fought through it. So AK said that, you know, she's got decent enough takedown defense. She's going to be the better striker. If Miller does get takedowns, Walker won't just be totally dead on the floor, and he favors her experience over apparently a very mercurial Juliana Miller.
Wow. Is that the word that he used?
No, that's the word I used. Let me find the exact word, but it's something. It's something.
I mean, that was an incredible descriptive word. I was going to say, if he goes 2-0 dropping words like mercurial about these fighters, I mean, this guy he's the tough whisperer.
I mean, well, he is absolutely the tough whisperer. I think his exact words were a head case. So, you know, I might have said it in a nicer way.
Not bad.
He did, but... So he's favoring the experience and underdog odds, and plus whatever extra juice I can get for Walker by decision, you know, might as well take a shot. Let's see what happens. Do not recommend anyone follow me, but that's where I'm going.
If you do follow Jed and they lose, talk to AK Lee, not Jed, because these are all straight from his mouth.
It's true. But hey, look, I just want to shout to my boy AK. Hit a 16 parlay last week. Man had never bet MMA until No Bets Barred came along. Now he's out here just hitting six teamers, crushing it, my boy.
We're creating degenerates around the country.
Bringing them all to the dark side, and I love every minute of it.
All right, so those are the tough finales. Should be a couple of bangers, and we'll get some UFC contracts out of it. Next up. We're still on the main card. It is a men's heavyweight bout. Augusto Sakai going up against Sergey Spivak. Spivak right now sitting at minus 255. Sakai coming back at plus 215. Over-under set at 2.5. Under minus 165. Over plus 135. I have a side as a parlay piece and then a straight play on a prop. The prop that I took is the fight to not go to a decision. I mean, solely based off these are two heavyweights that more often than not have not gone to decisions in their careers.
What's the odds on that prop?
I snagged it at minus 155. I'm still seeing minus 160 out there at a few books. I mean, that's really the biggest reason I played it is because of where the line's at. Sakai, 70% over his career. Spivak, 82% of the time they do not go to a decision. Sakai, I mean, he hasn't seen the scorecards in six of his eight UFC fights. And the two that didn't, that went to a decision, were against Andrei Arlovsky and Blagoy Ivanov, who are just decision machines. I mean, Ivanov went to a decision with Derek Lewis and Tai Tuivasa. Like, I mean, Arlovsky as well. And then, I mean, Sakai too. Marcin Tybura, Carlos Felipe, guys that typically go to decisions. So, I mean, I feel like when they're fighting other finishers, I feel like they're not going to go to a decision. In this case, I think Sakai either keeps it on the feet and knocks Spivak out, or Spivak takes him to the ground, just rains down ground and pound, or takes his back and gets a submission. But with heavyweights at this price to not go to the decision, I feel decent about my chances.
I like it. And did you say who you've got as far as a side parlay piece? I mean, it has to be Spivak.
Yeah. I'm using Spivak as a parlay piece. You know, obviously he's the favorite. I wouldn't parlay up an underdog. But I do think, Never parlay underdogs. Just take them straight and get your money and run.
Unless it's underdog odds on flyweight unders, because as we know,
then you parlay it.
They never lose.
Lock.
Never
Great
lost
point.
Ever.
Great point by you. I should have thought of that myself. But yeah, I just think Spivak's going to be relentless with the takedowns. He's proven that when he goes for them, he's able to get pretty much everyone he tries to get to the mat. I mean, Greg Hardy isn't a world beater by any means, but last time out, he pretty much took him down at will. I think he's going to be able to get Sakai to the mat at some point. And once it's down there, ground and pound, take his back, submission, one of the two. And I think he gets him out of there.
We're in lockstep on this one. I've got Spivak and a parlay.
Let's go.
I think it's the exact same. It's what you said. You know, I think he can score takedowns, and once it's there, I think Spivak is low-key a pretty decent little prospect at heavyweight. I also just...
He's nice, bro.
I've never liked Sakai. I don't... He feels like a worse version of, I don't know, like Tai Tuivasa. Like, he's like bad Tai Tuivasa. And I'm not even confident Tai Tuivasa's a good fighter. He's certainly a fun fighter, but... Like, it's just never been a big Sakai guy, and I think Spivak has some real potential, like some actual potential to him. So with you all the way on this one.
Yeah, he's Romanian. There's a Romanian place, restaurant near my crib.
Oh, that's how you should pick your bets.
Might get some Romanian food on Saturday just to really cheer on my boy, Sergey.
I love that. I will also say, from an odds standpoint, Spivak 4-1 is a favorite. Sakai 0-3 is an underdog.
Ooh, I mean, I like that.
Vegas, I love betting along what Vegas knows, and Vegas knows how this fight's going to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully we're on the right side of it. Don't know what Romanian food is, if I'm going to be brutally honest with you here. I hope I'm not showing my lack of culture, but,
no, I have no idea. You know,
we might find out on Saturday. Shout out
Eastern
to Sergey.
European, you know, I bet it's solid.
Oh, I can guarantee you it's solid. Staying in business in New York City, it's got to be decent.
Well, we'll need that review next week as we talk about Veracruz. We can have a little segment of Connor reviews the local cuisine.
UFC San Diego, cannot wait for that card, but we're still on UFC Apex 59. Let's get to the last decade, some are saying, even though it's only 2022. Let's get to the last fight on the main card. It is a women's flyweight bout. It's Ariane Lipski going up against Priscilla Cachoeira. Lipski -170, Cachoeira +145, over under set at 2.5, over -215, under +175. I am going with the queen of violence here. Do you have a dog play in this one?
I have no bet on this one. I think if I were to make a bet, it would be Cachoeira, but I have no faith in Ariane Lipski. I don't have faith in Priscilla Cachoeira either, mind you, but Cachoeira's cashed number of
underdogs. Is that what they're calling her now? 3-4 in the UFC, you become Cachoeira.
Those three tickets are underdog tickets. So if you bet her every time,
all seven of her fights, she's been an underdog. She's never been a favorite in the UFC.
But if you bet her every time, you're still making money. She's cashing enough tickets at underdog prices.
Listen, you hear the distaste in my voice. I'm still salty over the Gideon Kim fight. She lost the fight. She lost the fight, dude. It stayed standing the entire time. She almost got doubled up on strikes. Got thoroughly outstruck every single round. I mean, that was 30-27, Kim. I've never been so salty about a fight in my life. She just started throwing those like inside elbows. Like she stopped throwing punches in the final round, and she just was throwing elbows the entire time. Like, I mean, so here's what I'm going with Lipski. A little bit of saltiness. Oh, I mean, I've already taken her. It was one of the first bets I made. I'm salty as hell. Like, don't tail me on this. This is
always
a battle.
Bet with salt. If you're salty, just bet with your... If you've got hate in your heart, you let it out on the betting slip.
This is a bet. This is a battle that I have to take on by myself. I have to expel my demons, and I can be done with Priscilla Cachoeira if Lipski cashes this ticket for me. You don't have to ride into the night with me. I will do this by myself, and hopefully I'll come out on the other side. I know she's going to be more technical on the feet. Cachoeira, she just has power and a brawling style. Like, if you look at her UFC fights, she either wins by knockout or she just gets thoroughly pieced up on the feet. The Ji-Yeon Kim fight, I know that she won that, but she got thoroughly pieced up. I mean, if you look at her four losses and the Kim fight, you add those all up, she has gotten outstruck 515 to 268. That's an average of getting outstruck 103 to 54. Like, she's almost getting doubled up. She gets hit a ton, 7.91 significant strikes absorbed per minute. I couldn't find the number on it, but I have to imagine that is one of the worst in the entire flyweight division. Sure, Cachoeira might be able to use her power, stun Lipski, hurt Lipski, maybe even knock her out. But I mean, if Lipski goes in and fights smart, tries to pick her apart from the outside, I think she can use the ground game as well. We saw her do it against Bomb. Cachoeira has no ground game at all. I mean, we saw it in the Jillian Robertson fight. I know Robertson is talented on the ground, but she got completely dominated. I would not mind seeing her go to the ground and try to exploit that lack of skill there from Cachoeira.
Because Lipski's like sneaky okay on the floor.
Yeah, dude. I mean, she showed it in KSW a lot more than she's shown it in the UFC. But I think that's something that she needs to add into this fight. I'm praying that she does. But yeah, like I said, you don't have to fight this battle with me. This is something I got to do by myself. But I think Cachoeira is going to find similar issues that she had against Kim. I think Lipsky is probably faster than Kim. I hope she adds in the ground game, and I hope we can get us a unanimous decision. Imagine if Lipsky outstrikes her like 120 to 57 and gets like three takedowns and then loses by unanimous decision. I might have to quit. I might have to quit not only betting, but my job in general.
Honestly, I don't want to wish bad things on you, but for content reasons, if Cachoeira wins another deserved decision, and you can just, if this can become a new bit, is Cachoeira, you just constantly bet against Cachoeira, and I'm just like, I don't know, she might do it again.
Dude,
it would be great for content.
I'm gonna have to fade her out of the UFC. Like, I'm just gonna have to continue to fade her until she is out of the UFC. So when Cachoeira takes the flyweight belt from Valentina Shevchenko, we all want to see Cachoeira Shevchenko 2 after.
We need it. It was not definitive.
It was not. Shevchenko only outstruck her 95-2 and finished her in the second round and racked up like 9 minutes of control time, like almost controlled the entire fight. We need to see that too. So when that happens, know that I am crying in my cardboard box on the streets of New York City. And another note, this is going to be a streamer for me. This is going to be a phone stream one, because I will actually be watching our Atlanta Braves at Citi Field on Saturday night. So so for the prelims, it's going to be some phone streams for your boy. Going to have to bring the extra portable charger, all that.
Love it.
Hopefully I don't get kicked out of Citi Field because Cachoeira won a unanimous decision after getting doubled up on strikes and controlled for 10 minutes.
I hope you don't, but there's a part of me that wants you to, just, again, for content. That's great content if that happens.
Yeah. If you see me on the SportsCenter top 10 for getting ripped out of Citi Field, just know that that's why.
All right. That's the main card, though, buddy. We did it.
That's the main card. We did it pretty quick, too. Less than 40 minutes to do a recap of 277 and the main card. We definitely kept it concise.
The best card of the decade.
This week on The Pitch, would you like fries with that?
People are what make franchises run. The person who knows the business inside and out.
Yep.
Not someone who came off Wall Street because their check clears. Franchairs is the first investment marketplace where people can invest in franchises.
So you said $800 billion is what this market is a year. And hundreds of businesses are actually franchised businesses.
Thousands.
Thousands and thousands.
There are more brands franchised than there are stocks on the NASDAQ.
Oh.
You're raising a $4 million price round.
And what are the terms on that?
The $19 million post-money valuation.
And do you not think that the valuation is a little frothy?
This week, things get frothy when Kenny Rose brings a new alternative investment class to retail investors. Go right now and subscribe to The Pitch wherever you listen to podcasts.
Well, the best is yet to come, because we still do have a few more fights to break down.
We do. We've got some prelim action here. You had a lot of prelim action, I see.
Yeah, it's mostly just parlay pieces, so it's not really going to take me long, will just take us right into it. Fight of the card on the card of the decade. So fight of the decade, it's going to be a middleweight bout. Michael Oleksaychek going up against Smiling Sam Alvey right now. You can get Prince Michael at -600, Sam Alvey coming back at +450, over under set at 2.5, under -130, over at even money. We're laying the hammer down on Smiling Sam Alvey.
Is this real?
Nah, I'm taking
it. Oh, thank God.
Come on. We all know.
I assumed you weren't, but like, I don't know, maybe.
I was honestly hoping to goad you, and if you started barking for the Wolfpack, I would have cashed out my parlay and bet on Sam Alvey with you. Come on.
I make stupid bets, but I don't make that stupid of a bet. Sam Alvey hasn't won a fight in forever.
Yeah, since World War II. Like, it's been a while. And I actually, I am on the side that he's slightly overrated at how bad he is. Like, he is bad. I understand that. But, some of these fights are going to split decisions, and they're pretty close, and he could have come out the winner. Like, he's not going in there and just getting smashed, first round knocked out every single time. He's bad. But, some people are he's the worst fighter to ever step in the octagon, he's got some wins like him, you know. Here I am.
I mean, it's just easy to pick him apart because he's on
the record.
If not the worst losing, is it the record of the most fights in the UFC without a win?
I was just saying his record.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he either has the record for most consecutive fights without a win, or he might be like tied with BJ at the end of BJ Penn's career. But like, he eight fights since he has won. 2018, a split decision over Jean Volante. Like,
God, just, that's bad.
It's, you know.
Oleg Saichek, he's young. He's improving. He's a free-flowing striker. He's got proven power. I think he takes care of business. I parlayed him up when he was minus 490 with Hill. And then I have one more to finish it off.
I'm with you. I've got Oleg Saichek as a parlay piece. Like I said, I've got six parlay pieces on this card and might throw in a little PFL one as well. So I haven't figured out if I'm just going to do a moonshot single parlay or a big one. Oh, I forgot you're going, huh?
What are you thinking for PFL?
Well, I'm probably going to take a shot on Anthony Pettis at plus 100.
Ooh, already locked it in.
I was saying, I know. Oh, love that. Little Wolfpacky? Little baby PFL Wolfpack? Oh!
Yeah, I snagged it plus 105. Shout out to Showtime.
I was there for the last one. Stevie Ray, you know, got a wild submission, but as a fight he was not winning. Yeah, he was not winning that fight until that happened. I think Pettis probably wasn't even that engaged in that fight because he already knew he was locked into the playoffs. I don't think Lightning's going to strike twice again. Give me Pettis an underdog odds.
And, locked in as a one seed. I like that theory because that was the same one that I have. Plus, I just want to cheer on Anthony Pettis in person.
It's way more fun.
Having both of them in studio on the MMA Hour today, I'll get to meet them.
We are. It's very exciting. And the parlay piece I would pick is OAM Olivier Albin Mercier. He's taking on Alexander Martinez. Oh,
beautiful French there.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You know, I've listened to Ariel a lot. I'm trying to adopt some more of that in my life.
I think you mean merci.
Oh, true. But yeah, OAM's just been on a heater since this past year and just looking really good. So minus 240.
You want me to peel back the curtain for me as I'll be attending PFL on Friday? I do have a parlay. It's Rob Wilkinson, OAM that you already mentioned, and Marcelo Nunez. I parlayed them three and Anthony Pettis. Only threw a half unit on each just because PFL can get very tricky, but I'm going to the event in person. I'm not going to not bet on it.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to. And, you know, maybe I'll pick up a couple of those legs. I'll just go real moonshot, 10-teamer. When has a team 10-teamer ever lost?
You tell me, because I mean.
Never. It's guaranteed. It's almost as guaranteed as flyweight unders. Maybe not quite the same, but, you know, neck and neck.
If we can get a ton of futures from DraftKings, you know, maybe one day we can put together a 10-leg flyweight under parlay.
Oh, my God.
And when you parlay locks, you get a lot of money.
You get a big lock. Oh, man. When that happens, the day that happens, the show ends. We retire on top, and we count our millions from a $10 bet.
Could you imagine if you parlayed the flyweight unders last week? It would have paid out nicely.
And it was never in doubt. It was guaranteed all day. So
no. I mean, the Pantoja one really was never in doubt. I mean, that was just like...
Dude, Allie Pants came out. But that's last week. We still have stuff this week.
I know. We gotta get back to it,
though. We get too distracted.
I've said it. The many men walk up. You guarantee yourself a W when you walk up to many men. All right. Let's get back to the card of the decade, UFC Apex 59. It is a lightweight bout. You want to have some fun? This fight is probably going to be pretty fun. It is Terrence McKinney going up against Eric the Ghost Pepper Gonzalez. McKinney right now minus 850, probably going to close around minus 1,000. Gonzalez coming back at plus 600. Over-under set at 1.5, and the under is minus 235. Over is set at plus 170. We mentioned Drew Dober and that chin earlier. I almost feel like this is a little, get back in the win column, Terrence. We fed you to Drew Dober on short notice. You almost cracked the code of that granite, beautiful chin of Dover's. But as many have tried before, many have failed. You failed as well. So let's Johnny get
Bravo
you back.
Johnny Bravo cannot be knocked out. That's what we all know. Johnny Bravo cannot be knocked out.
That one shot from Alves would have put me into a coma. Like, yeah. I'm talking like a real 10-day, like 20-day, what happened? We're in another pandemic. All my friends are dead. It's 2035 type coma. And Drew Dober just ate it like he got slapped by like his son or something.
You know, you just, it is what it is. You cannot break that chin. Terrence McKinney found it out. I don't think he's going to have that issue against Eric Gonzalez, I got to say.
I don't think so either. I mean, the jump that Eric Gonzalez is making from 40-year-old Jim Miller to like the firecracker that is Terrence McKinney is probably going to be pretty hard to adjust to. He got knocked out by Jim Miller. I just think McKinney's going to come in here, put that insane pace that he loves to put on his opponents, and probably get Eric Gonzalez out of there early. I mean, I'm on Terrence McKinney as a parlay piece. Juice to hell, but I parlayed it with the Oleksaychek and Jamal Hill pays out minus 118. And then in a prop parlay, I have the fight does not go the distance at minus 525, which honestly might be a better bet because Terrence McKinney is kill or be killed. In his whole career, he's only seen the third round once. I have a hard time seeing this one go to a decision.
Oh, yeah, I don't think that that's a thing that's going to happen either. So, but I'm with you. I just have McKinney as a parlay piece just because everything you said. I think they're setting him up for a win. Price is very steep, but like, screw it. Why not? Who cares? He's going to be part of my 10-leg auto win.
Screw it. Why not? Who cares?
That's my methodology.
I mean, when you're doing a 10-leg parlay, when you're doing a 10-leg parlay too, like a minus 850 does make like a little bit of a difference.
It starts bumping it up when you're that deep in the numbers, you know?
Right. When you're getting into 10 legs, like it really, because some people are like, never parlay more than like a minus 750. First of all, I'll do what I want with my parlays. Thank you very much. Second of all,
I'm making a dumb bet. I'm going to make as dumb a bet as I can make.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it. I know you're a guru. You're the expert, but, I'll do what I want with my bets. Thank you very much. I don't need nobody telling me what to do. But yeah, 10 legs, it does start getting juiced up. So yeah, Terrence McKinney, if he loses that one, ay caramba, you know, the train that was looking so great when he had Drew Dober hurt in the first round has now come crashing down if he were to drop this one. Like,
I think we're safe.
I think so too. I think so too. Knock on wood though, just in case. All right, let's keep it moving. Prelims. Welterweight bout, Takashi Soto, Brian Battle. Brian Battle minus 250. Soto coming back at plus 210, over under 2.5. Over minus 165, under plus 135. Takashi 10 Soto versus Brian Pooh Bear Battle. 10 versus Pooh Bear. Not as good as T-Rex versus Ghost Pepper, in my opinion.
Not quite. You're right. I'm with you on that one as well. I mean, Ghost Pepper is a tremendous name. Let's just say T-Rex is fine. Like, I get it. It's just, I'm not that enthused, but Ghost Pepper is great. But yeah, I'm with you here.
Does anyone know why Takashi Sato's nickname is 10?
Dude, I don't have any idea.
Neither do I. So I'm going with Brian Battle here as my one of my final parlay pieces. He's coming down to welterweight. He's going to be much bigger in this fight. 3 inches height, 4 inches of reach. I think he's going to be the better striker. Maybe not the more powerful one, but I do think he'll be technically the better striker in this fight. I also think he's going to be able to get it to the ground. We just saw Gunnar Nelson take him down at will. I think Brian Battle will be able to use his size and be able to get Sato down as well. Battle also, he has a numerous amount of wins by submission, including that ninja choke on Tough. Sato, 3 of his 5 losses are by submission. I know, you know, a lot of people are pointing to that Gunnar Nelson fight and how he avoided getting subbed by Gunnar Nelson. But to that point, it seemed like his entire game plan was to avoid getting subbed by Gunnar Nelson, because en route to avoiding the submission, he got 30-26 across the board. It was not even remotely close to a competitive fight. So
only just to not talk about that fight, I'm still mad about Sato's just wholesale decision to lose but not be finished and take a moral victory and ruin my sub prop bet.
Yeah, I had Gunnar Nelson sub individual and in a parlay, and that is the only bet I missed on that UFC London card. Would have been my first perfect card ever. So, yeah, let's just fade Sato again, because it's kind of like the Catchuera thing, man. Like, you're just ruining our day over here. So let's just take our demons out on UFC Apex 59.
I'm with you. I also have Battle as one of my
wow.
many parlay legs.
Wow, let's go.
For all the same reasons. He's bigger. He works at a way higher pace. Like, Battle is going to push the action here. And, you know, maybe Sato survives, maybe he doesn't. But I'll take him as a parlay. I'll take Battle as a parlay leg.
Let's go. Let's go. Brian Battle, it is. We are both on the same page there. Let's break down a couple more fights here. Let's keep it rolling. It is a welterweight bout. It is Jason Whipp going up against Josh Quinlan. Right now, you can get Quinlan at minus 215. Whipp coming back at plus 185. Over-under set at 1.5. Over minus 165. Under plus 127. I don't know if you have a play on this. Mine is a parlay piece if the fight does not go to a decision. Really, just the thinking here. The props weren't out yet, so I just took the fight doesn't go to a decision. How does Whit lose? By getting knocked out. Cannot trust that chin. How does Quinlan win? Steroids, juiced up, mega Chad. He wins by knockout. Almost every one of his wins is by knockout. I think it is probably the same fate here. I just don't see Whit being able to wrestle him for 15 minutes. And get the job done.
I'm going to take your word for it. I have no action on this. I just don't care enough to. I already had plenty of bets, and this fight card is not enough for me to want to dive into this one. So,
I love it.
Listen
love
to Connor; he's a genius.
Well, we have one fight to go that we have action on, and we've got 5 minutes. Can we get the sub-hour episode for UFC Apex 59? Let's find out. It is the last fight we're going to talk about. It is a women's strawweight bout. Corey McKenna going up against Miranda Granger. Right now, you can get McKenna at minus 225. Granger coming back at plus 190. Over under set at 2.5. Over minus 300. Under plus 225. Tell me what you got here.
So, remember at the beginning of the episode when I said I have one objectively stupid bet?
Oh, wow. Let's hear it, please.
It's this one, baby. Because
yes.
I'm not going to hit you with a big breakdown. I'm just going to give you...
I don't want the big breakdown.
I'm going to give you two stats. First stat is 68. That is Miranda Granger's reach.
Yeah.
The second stat is 58. That is Corey McKenna's reach. That is a 10-inch reach advantage. Granger also has 4 inches of height. I know McKenna looks like she could be a good prospect. You know, she's very young. She's 22, 23, something like that. Miranda Granger, not a great fighter. I'm not here to say she's a great fighter, but I tried to find out what the odds are, the stats are. I cannot imagine that historically the stats are very good for someone who is at a 10-inch reach disadvantage to win professional fights.
Dude, I can't even lie to you. I didn't think that was possible to be at a 10-inch reach advantage in women's strawweight.
Not at heavyweight. Like, the only division I could even see it is heavyweight, because you get like Jeff Monson versus, you know, Tim Sylvia or whatever. You get some of those fights. But like, McKenna, small for the division anyway. Obviously can grapple a bit, can fight a bit. Granger, not very good. But Granger at plus 190 with 10 inches of reach and 4 inches of height. This is a stupid bet, but I just said, screw it. Prove me wrong. Like, come out here and prove me wrong, Corey McKenna. And I will say, okay, but I'm going to take the shot. So based on nothing beyond the physical disparity of this bout, that's why I have a plus 190 bet on Miranda Granger.
Dude, I don't hate it. I actually think it's kind of hilarious. McKenna is young, dude. She's, what, 23? So like, she is unbelievably young. I mean, I would assume she's going to have to lean on the takedowns here to get it done. Because I can't imagine she wants to strike with someone that much bigger than her. But yeah, I like that. 10 inches of reach in a strawweight fight. That is unbelievable.
It's unreal number. So, you know.
I'm glad you didn't give me the long breakdown. Because
need one.
That's all I needed to know. So yeah, shout out to Miranda Granger and the 10-inch reach advantage of women's strawweight. Okay, my bets for this card. Keeping it light, trying to keep it tight, hopefully get out in the green. I've got singles, Ariane Lipsky minus 155. Spivak Sakai fight does not go to a decision at minus 155. Parlayed up Jamahal Hill Michael Oleksychuk, Terrence McKinney, that pays out at minus 118. Parlayed up Ryan Battle and Sergei Spivak, that pays at plus 113. And I parlayed McKinney Gonzalez, does not go the distance, as well as Quinlan Witt, does not go the distance. That pays out at minus 160.
Boom. I've got a little more action than you down. My straight bets, I've got a long, you know, flyer on Jamal Hill by first round KO at plus 350. Taking Jeff Neal as the underdog at plus 160. I will be betting Brogan Walker by decision whenever that line does drop. It's not out now, obviously. Though she is a straight underdog at plus 100, which if that line never drops, plus 100, I'll still take the shot on Brogan Walker. Miranda Granger, plus 190. We just broke it down. And then buckle up, kids. Buckle up, kiddos, because I've got a six-team parlay. It might end up becoming a seven-team because I may add OAM, but as it stands, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to say I'm going to do it. I'm about to lock it in a seven-team parlay. Jamal Hill, Zach Piuga, Sergei Spivak, Mikhail Oleksychuk, Terrence McKinney, Brian Battle, and my guy from the PFL, Olivier Aubin-Marcier. That seven-teamer pays out at plus 591. Punching that ticket in right now. And then, you know, we've got a little bit, just a little baby wolf pack on Mr. Anthony Pretty Tony Showtime Pettis over at the PFL plus 100. Those are the bets. That's it. We did it. Sub 1 hour, baby. Let's go.
Sub 1 hour. And I have to say, like, there's going to probably be like a nice 90 seconds cut out of this as well. So like, we got some time. I mean, like we made it, pretty clean. I will be at the Hulu Theater. I've seen a few of these PFL fighters being like fighting at MSG this weekend. Technically you are fighting at Madison Square Garden, but you're fighting at the Hulu Theater at Madison Square Garden. You know, I'm kind of being a dick for bringing it up.
Let them have their moment, my guy.
Regardless, yes, have their moment. I will see you guys at the Hulu Theater on Friday. Next week, UFC San Diego. Cannot wait for that one. Marlon Vera, Dominic Cruz. Yeah, you stay classy, San Diego. Can't wait to say that 50 times next week.
Oh, I mean, we've got to. But just so we're clear, next week, Odie Osborne, Tyson Nam. Flyweight under, baby. Just go ahead and lock it in. If the odds are out for you with your bookie, go ahead and lock it in. There's a flyweight. Take that under.
If we're actually being totally like 100% serious right now, we're obviously never going to take every single flyweight under, but an Ode Osborne flyweight fight, I will take the under in that.
Taking the under, baby.
I can guarantee you I'm taking the under in that fight. That's that. That's UFC Apex 59, card of the decade. Next week, UFC San Diego. I feel like we're actually getting kind of close to the hour mark, so let's get out of here. See you next week.
Love you guys.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.